I have a habit that, as habits tend to do, repeats itself over the years. Whenever a big life change is about to happen, or when my daily life seems out of control and fraught with chaos, I paint. Not beautiful watercolors or oils, no, nothing on paper or canvas. Although I often get asked if I illustrate my own children's books, I am not an artist, not even close. When I paint, I don't paint landscapes or portraits. I paint walls. Blue, most often, to the increasing chagrin of family and friends who think that other colors deserve equal time, or at least some time at all. There's something about painting room that makes me feel as though I've accomplished something. When I paint, I clean and purge. I get behind the refrigerator and get that dog hair and the cobwebs that have lain undetected for years. I clean out the junk that has collected in the closets. And so when I'm finished with a paint job, I feel as though I've created some small section of harmony in the whirlwind of my life. So what precipitated this summer's painting frenzy? I think it was trying to prepare myself mentally for our youngest son going off to college. I'm not really ready for an empty nest, but by golly, that nest is going to have some blue walls. So in July, I painted the entire kitchen blue, and then I proceeded to the dining room, a different shade of blue. And then I decided I'd had enough painting for a while. Now, I love to paint, but even more, I love to be finished with painting, to be done with the mess of it all. Then I went on the mission trip, my first. I volunteered to be on, yes, the painting crew. For most of the week, I painted. My skin became freckled with speckles of the various colors of paint, brown and yellow and cream and green. Oddly enough, no blue. At the end of the week, I decided I was finished with painting for a while and glad to be done with the mess of it all. Well, when I got home, I realized that the shade of blue in the dining room just didn't work, so out came the rollers and the paintbrushes again. No time like the present, I decided, as long as I was already on a painting roll. Back I went to the hardware store where the guy at the paint counter now knows me by name. When I finished the dining room for the second time, I decided that I was through with painting for a while and glad to be done with the mess of it all. Well, 1 week after the mission trip, the rains came. It rained and rained and rained and rained and rained. We woke up one morning to find that the ground around our home had had enough rain and decided to share it with the inside of our house, saturating nearly the entire first floor of our home, including our family room and our two sons' bedrooms. When your home floods, as many of you know firsthand, you don't postpone the cleanup until a convenient time. No, you stop everything else you're doing and you start cleaning up the mess. Well, thanks to the help of a good friend, a couple of shop vacs, fans, towels, and muscle work, we were able to save most of our family room carpet, but the carpets in the two bedrooms were trashed. Once we hauled out the soggy rugs, papers, clothes, etc., etc., there was really no choice. The one bedroom had to be painted, and better before the new carpeting got installed. Back to the hardware store, back to the painting business. It took me 3 days to paint this one room. The blue rolled on smoothly, of course, but the red, our son's choice, it was his room, was another story. Red is a difficult color to paint. Even with a primer, it takes layers and layers and layers to get an even coat. On Wednesday afternoon, I finally finished. I packed up the paint cans and equipment, and I headed upstairs to take a shower and sit down on the couch for just a minute. I was so happy to be finished with painting and glad to be done with the mess of it all. Upstairs in our family room, I was greeted by our new little dog, Ellie. We adopted Ellie early this summer from an organization that rescues abandoned animals. Ellie has helped fill a lot of emptiness in our lives since spring, when we had to have both our other dogs put to sleep due to illness, our older dog Sparky and our one-year-old puppy Buckets. Ellie, dear, sweet little dog that she is so good about entertaining herself when we're busy. She gets out her toys and she plays. And sure enough, she'd been entertaining herself while I'd been painting. Keeping with the theme, she had entertained herself with a paintbrush. A wet paintbrush. A wet paintbrush covered with red paint. She must have grabbed it from the room where I was painting when I wasn't paying attention. And judging by the looks of things, she had had a great time flipping that paintbrush all over the carpet upstairs and the couch and the stairs. I looked at Ellie. I looked at the carpet. And I thought, do I laugh or do I cry? And that's when I decided. Paint happens. Paint happens. Despite our plans, our expectations, our thinking that we are in control, just when you think you can be done with the mess for a while, paint happens. Paint happens. Now that's the truth of it. It's what Jesus said in a much more eloquent way when he told the crowds on the mountaintop that day, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Paint happens. Life happens. No matter how hard we try to organize and orchestrate our lives, paint happens. We can spend hours, days, even years dreaming about how our lives will be and then doing our utmost to make it all come true. And sometimes we're lucky and things do work out as we had hoped. But even then, even when we are able to direct our lives according to the script that we have written, paint happens in the form of an illness, divorce, a change in job, a friend moving away, a house flooding. Paint happens. It's just the way of the world. Telling us to let today's trouble be enough for today isn't the same as Jesus telling us never to make any plans. The world would be an even sorrier mess if everyone took each day as it came, never making appointments, never looking ahead. But the key word in the scripture passage is the word worry. Do not worry so much, Jesus says. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. If we take today's worries, and then we add tomorrow's worries on top of them, and then we carry all those worries into the next day, soon our load of worries will be so heavy that we will simply collapse under the weight of them all. And the truth is, worrying about tomorrow isn't going to make the problems go away. The worry, the anxiety, the fear don't change anything. It just ruins the day we have right now. John Lennon said that life is what happens while you're busy making other plans. If we spend our time today worrying about what might happen tomorrow, today's going to be over and we will have missed it. And life's just too short for that. A few months ago, I was talking on the phone with our eldest son, Chris, who is a college student down at Southern Illinois University. He asked me how I was doing. We check in from time to time with each other because our family's had some rough times lately. In the span of 15 months, we suffered the assault and attempted murder of our daughter, the death of Greg's father after a terrible illness, and my father's diagnosis of inoperable cancer. I told Chris, honestly, you know, I spent a lot of time anticipating the next big disaster. It's hard not to do that when you've had sudden and unexpected tragedies strike your life like a poisonous snake. I know we're not the only ones who are facing or have had to face tragic circumstances. It's because of our job, our family's traumas are more widely publicized. In many ways, the visibility of our sorrows has allowed us to receive a multitude of grace and kindness that others are not so fortunate to have. Yes, I told Chris, I worry all the time about what tomorrow might bring. He said he also spent a lot of time anticipating what awful thing might happen to us next. And then he paused and he said, Mom, maybe we should start anticipating all the good things that might happen too. And that really resonated with me. All the worry in the world wouldn't have stopped those tragedies from happening to us. But worrying about the next possible disaster was sucking the life out of the present. And if there's one thing that we've learned from what's happened to us, is that every moment we have on earth is far too precious to waste in any way, shape, or form. Anticipate the good that can happen, the good that will happen. Ever since Chris and I had that conversation, I've tried really hard to do this. But every now and then, I catch myself worrying. Some habits are just hard to break. But now, when I start to worry, I catch myself and say, don't just anticipate the bad, anticipate the good. Paint happens. And when it does, we get down on our knees and we scrub the carpet clean. And we say a few prayers while we're at it. So I pass my son's advice on to you today because it seems to me to be a perfect example of living the way Jesus wants us to live. Don't worry about tomorrow. Anticipate the good that can happen. And at the end of each day, close your eyes and say a prayer and turn your worries over to God. You know, as the psalm reminds us, God doesn't slumber or sleep. He doesn't need to rest, but we do. We need to be ready for tomorrow when we step out of bed and find that the house is flooded or the dog has painted the living room carpet. We need to be ready for all the unexpected, wonderful things that might just happen as well. I'd like to say I'm through with painting for a while. I'm glad to be done with the mess of it all for now. I know that soon enough, I'll be back at the hardware store buying a couple of gallons of blue paint. Paint happens. When it happens, we're often left with a big mess to clean up. But more often, we end up with a beautiful wall the color of a summer sky. Pray with me. Lord, it is so easy to worry and to miss the life that is happening now and to trust you to carry our concerns. Give us the strength, O Lord, to live life while it happens, to anticipate the good that is out there in the world. Bless us, O Lord, to serve you, to love you, and to live this life that we have been given. In the name of Jesus Christ, let all God's people say, Amen.